A few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
Me, John Nemeth.
Matt Hagen. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Don't you mean Nametz? Why are you
No.
so ashamed? German, right? In some language? I don't remember.
That's right. In that case, it's more like Niemitz, like NY.
Nemeth. Is that like
Niemiecki.
John Malkovich and Rounders? Nemeth.
Hey, this man, his money.
Hey,
Whatever.
this man, his money.
A movie I have seen and remember nothing about.
We were just talking about that. That's funny.
Well, thank God that isn't that show. This is the show where we talk about our love, hates, and indifferences. And we sometimes, for funsies, bring out a mystery topic, but who knows if that's going to happen. But before we
Right.
do any of that, we like to start off with some deja vus. And I have one, if you guys don't.
I
Go
do
ahead.
have one, but you can go first.
All righty. Well, this is a deja vu going back to a UFC story where I was saying like how Israel Adesanya, he was defeated by Alex Pereira twice before going into the UFC, and then Alex Pereira gets rushed into championship to fight him just because of their backstory, right? And then Alex beat him again. Well, they actually just had their fourth fight this weekend, and what do you know it? Israel Adesanya finally got some revenge. He knocked out Alex in the second round. And the two big takeaways from it is everyone's like, oh, it's finally over. It's undeniably Israel Adesanya who's like the best out of the two. I'm like, how could you even say that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. They're 3-1, right? And then this is something else that I've kind of disliked about Israel. He's a what is it called? A weak winner or a bad sport or whatever it's called. You know, when you win, what is that called?
Yeah, poor sport, poor a showmanship or whatever. Yeah, rub
Yeah,
it in their
whatever.
face, that sort of thing.
A sore winner, I think, right? Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that
But
sounds right.
anyways, so what he does is, you know, Alex is knocked out cold on, you know, on the floor, and he's looking through the crowd, Israel is, and he points to Alex's son who's crying, and he makes him look, make eye contact, and then he pretends to fall down like he's passed out as well on the ring.
His son, how old's his son?
12, I think.
So his son pretended that he passed out? Is that what you're saying?
No. No, he pointed to Israel pointed to Alex's son who was crying in the crowd because his dad's knocked out. And then so Israel got, you know, he was like, hey, look at me. And then he fell down to the floor next to Alex, right? So just like traumatizing the kid. And that's just another God, fucking Israel knocked out one guy and it ended, and he was on top of them when they called it out, but then he like humped him from behind for getting up, and you're like, okay, the fight's over. Like, come on, man. Yeah. So it's, I don't know, it's cringe or it's something. I just don't care for it. So yeah.
Well, it's drama. You've got to have your storylines. You got to have your heels, your villains, whatever. So Israel is was he a big underdog in this? I would assume so.
No, I mean, he should have, but I mean, according to Vegas odds, which I don't follow, I don't, whatever, but he was the favorite because he was winning that fight, the third fight, and then Alex caught him. So yeah, I don't know. It's just he knocks out Alex, and everyone's saying like, oh, it's done, it's sealed. We know who the better fight is. I just don't
Well,
agree. Yeah.
I guess they gotta have a fifth one, right?
They must. I don't know. It's like a lot of people are just like moving on to the next guy.
On to the next guy.
Yeah.
Had to get him out of the way for the first time, and now moving
Yeah.
on to the next guy.
I don't know. I don't agree with
Strange.
it. It's
I don't
annoying.
know how politics work in any of that, but I definitely think it's all about the story, right? So I think if there's more to be told of that story between those two guys, I'm sure they'll do it again.
I don't know. I heard that the reason why he did it to the kid is because years ago when Alex knocked him out, when that same kid went in and lied down on the ring next to Israel when he was knocked out. Okay, so that's an extra wrinkle, right? But dude, you're a grown man. He's still a kid. You don't have to do that. I don't know. I don't like it.
How big was this 12-year-old? Was he like a 6-footer here?
Asking the real question.
I don't even know if he was 12 or not. I thought I heard that thrown out there, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's messed up.
Yeah, it's a little messed up, kind of. Well, are you? I mean, you're really not threatening a kid. I mean, it's kind of retaliation at that point. You should have told that part first, where it was kind of just like tit for tat or whatever. But
To a child, though? I don't know. I don't agree with
yeah, there's a certain
it.
gray area there, though. That kid knew what he was doing the first time, right? That kid knew what he was doing.
I wish I knew how many years back that was. Shoot, I don't. John, what do you think about all this? You've been pretty close-mouthed.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems always seems problematic when you bring children into it.
Yes.
Like, keep the beef between the professionals.
Be some like Shakespearean shit, like that kid's gonna grow up and be a fighter, and then he's gonna,
Ooh.
well, I suppose Israel's gonna be way past his prime at that point, but it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's like some Kill
Avenge
Bill
his
shit.
father.
Yeah.
Does he have a kid? Maybe a nephew or something?
Oh, so the kid
Ooh.
fights the other kid,
Yeah.
Israel's kid?
That'd be like some Creed stuff, right? The newest Creeds versus Rockies. That's kind of where that's going.
Yeah.
Great. On to your deja vu, John.
Oh yeah. So I just heard about this poll that came out, asking Americans about their thoughts and fears about AI. And only 9% of Americans think AI will do more good than harm. 41% say the exact opposite, and 46% say it'll do equal harm and good. And 55% of Americans believe AI could pose a threat to the existence of the human race.
What do you make all that?
I think Terminator was a successful movie franchise.
As in, like, putting itself into our minds, like, oh, we
Yeah.
can't, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
I just realized something. So we have AI. Does that mean the world has AI or just America? Like, I have no idea, actually. And
Oh
then
yeah,
what does the
the
world?
world definitely has it.
Okay. Yeah,
Well, I
because
just
I'm.
saw Alibaba, the Chinese Google, basically they came out with their own AI that's being rolled out to all their products. So yeah, it's all out there.
I love that it's called Alibaba. That's pretty sweet. I like
Yeah.
that. It's either that or Open Sesame, I would say, would be the
Yeah, I think that's, if I was to guess on those numbers, I think that's probably what I would expect, to be perfectly honest with you. Again, the AI is in just this really infant state, but yeah, the fear is out there. You're totally right about Terminator. I think you plant the seeds of mistrust with something like that.
the newer thing about AI is voices now. They could do voices. If they have enough sample of your voice, like a celebrity, then you could type in whatever and then they'll talk just like that. And they'll have enough of a proper cadence or whatever to be like, oh, he's human. Maybe he sounds a little stuffy or something might be a little off, but it sounds like him or her so much. That's pretty creepy. I mean, I think that could be damning. You could leave like a fake voicemail to a boss or anyone, right?
Yeah. I
Shit.
mean, and that's leading into deep fakes again too. Like if you're faking the video and then the audio's on top of it, I mean, We talked about deepfakes already. You know, we never actually talked about how quickly Google responded to the whole ChatGPT thing. Like, Google came under attack. Like, well, you've been saying you're the best at AI. Where's your AI, Google? And I know Google's stock took a big hit and that sort of thing. And then, so Google was forced to kind of forced to really sort of an emergency release of their AI across certain products, and it was out there for the public to use. And then one little mishap, like I think they were doing some sort of presentation, and then the Google AI gave some sort of wrong answer, and that went viral, and then Google's stock tanked some more and all this sort of stuff. But there's just so much pressure on Google to get this right. It's kind
which
of,
is hilarious, because like, you know, ChatGPT gives wrong answers all the time. Like, it's horrible at math. It doesn't understand logic. Like, it's a language AI, basically. So like, you know, you wouldn't expect it to like know how to do math problems and stuff. And like, everyone's just fine with it. But then like Google's one made a similar mistake, and yeah, that was just horrible for them that day.
Oh, don't know what to make of all this. Very reactionary, but yeah, it just feels like there's so much pressure on Google to get this right, or kind of take over at some point, or be the leader in all of this.
And I think it's just interesting. Like, I think just how important language is to everybody, that there's been a lot of different AI models very good at doing different things. Like, you know, like I know like companies use it for doing antivirus, you know, it's just like AI models instead of signatures like it used to be. And like, they're very good at that. And, you know, I'm sure like every industry is using it for something, but it's just because like, oh, we use language and we can interact with it, that ChatGPT is just so much fun to play around with and just seems so much more impressive than anything else, because it actually feels like you're talking to someone.
No doubt. Yeah, this is going to be a topic that we're going to have deja vus again and again and again about this topic, I assume.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, should we go on to the show itself? And does anyone have a passion to get started off?
Why not?
Oh, there you go.
I have a love for a certain album. I wanted to bring an album out there again. I talked about Tom Waits, my love for Tom Waits. My other favorite artist of all time is Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. And I wanted to find kind of the most accessible album, the album that kind of has the most varied style. And I arrived at a little album called Murder Ballads, which, as the name implies, is a album full of murder ballads. And it's quite fun. Within the band itself, they refer to it as their comedy album.
What?
Because Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, you know, they've been around a long time, and they always kind of dabble in the morose. They kind of dabble in murder and sinisterness and sort of, and then you just lean way into that and just make a whole album. I just think they had a lot of fun making the album, is what it came down to. But it's a lot of great jams on there. There's a duet with Kylie Minogue. There's a duet with PJ Harvey in there. It's a hell of a lot of fun. I've listened to this album so many times. And yes, if you do want a starting place for Nick Cave, this is the best place to go. There's even Bob Dylan cover on there, Death Is Not the End, very last track. And again,
by the way, that sounds so creepy, just after everything else that you just listened to.
Mm-hmm. Death Is Not the End.
Oh, I must hold on. I think I listened to like an extended version, because there was like three tracks after Death Is Not the End, for my experience. Oh,
you
shoot.
Know what? I don't even know if I know that extended version.
Oh, dang. Well, I mean, it's still good. Like, I did like those three. Wow, that's crazy. All right, go on though.
I'm gonna quick try to Google the extended version, because I want to see what else is on it. I don't even know if I've heard that.
Yeah, there's Ballad of Robert Moore and Betty, and then the Willow Garden, and then King Kong Kichi Kichi Kimi-o.
I
That
don't know.
sounds, I think I know that song, but
I never heard of those three.
I'm gonna have to look this up now. Blowing my mind, Vince.
Wow, that's nuts. Okay, but it's still very good. Like I'm gonna wait till you're done. I'll get
Oh,
into it.
I'm pretty much done. I can go into a couple different songs here, but just, I mean, you kind of scoffed at the idea of a comedy album, but there's some funny shit in there, especially like O'Malley's bar, going into a bar and shooting up the place, and just this guy's totally full of himself and his strange observations, and with an ashtray as big as a really fucking big brick, I split his skull in half. Just the use of the word big twice, it for some reason just tickles me. I love that. He's just like, he's searching for another word, but it's just like, ashtray big as a really fucking big brick, you know. There's just something, again, I've listened to this album so many times, so I pick up on all the little nuances. So it's so good. It's so good. Vince, so this was your first time hearing this? Would you
Yes. Oh, wait. So John, you're familiar with all this?
Yeah, Matt recommended this album to me years and years ago, and I've listened to it a ton of times since
Okay.
then.
Okay.
And in fact, for a while I was having an album recommendation club with my buddies Drew and Eric, and that was one of the albums that I recommended for them to listen to as well.
Sweet.
And they both liked it, and Drew definitely agreed with the comedy aspect of it.
Nice. Oh,
Wow.
did you get around to other Nick Cave albums with that group?
I've listened to many of them once and never again.
All right.
I
Well,
don't know
I
why.
like this album. Wow, yeah. I was just gonna say I like this album. But it's very it's just the subject matter reminded me of like true crime TV shows where it's like I know they can be good. I'm so uncomfortable about people killing other people where it's hard for me to just like, hey, it's just what it is. But again, these are well-crafted songs. I do like the singing. I like a lot of the females that performance. But I will say though, after a while, I just like the what was it called? Curse of Mill something? Millhaven.
Millhaven. Yeah, that one's great.
Because that's more uppity. That's well, not uppity. That's more jaunty. Yeah. And after a while, the rest is just I couldn't get over the subject matter. That's about the one thing I couldn't get over. So if I listen to this again, I'm sure I'll start picking up on the, you know. I did appreciate the lyrics and stuff. And it's really bumming me out because I thought that those three tracks were part of the album, and I really liked those. I actually put a lot of stuff in there. I was like, oh, this is action-packed lyrically and shit like that.
Oh, cool. Well, I might have
Yeah.
to check those out. I bet you I've heard those songs before, just not in the context of the album. So,
Yeah. Man.
extended version.
And I really half expected for Tom Waits to just guest spot on this fucking album, man, because they have what was it? Death is not the end. That's where they have like a bunch of people singing, right? Yeah, like I remember that. I actually didn't know it was a Bob Dylan song at all. But yeah, I like this very much. There was some nice little touches throughout the album, like where the woman is crying in rhythm of the song. I was like, oh, that's right there. But the first thing I will say though is I should have known what I was getting into because all I know is Red Right Hand,
Red
because that's the Scream song. It's like in all the Scream movies and shit like that. So I'm like, okay, I know
It's also
that.
in Dumb and Dumber. It's in a lot of movies.
That's right, Dumb and Dumber. But yeah, it's so it's they're not always like this. Like this is them really like you said, leaning into the murder parts of it, of their lyrics and stuff.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Yeah, and in fact, the album right after this was The Boatman's Call. Boatman's Call, which is a very love song driven album. It's very piano based, very stripped down, and it's very, very loving. Although you can read into the lyrics what you want to read into the lyrics as far as subtext, but Yeah, they're all over the place with their style and their lyrical content, and that's
But
it's the variety of styles that is one of the big reasons why I love Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Want to talk about my favorite song on this album is Stagger Lee. It's got to be. I mean, you want to talk about some smooth bass lines, Vince.
Second episode or second title?
Second track on there. Yeah. So it's just a great, perverted, strange song. But this is if you ever watch their live show, like I have not seen these guys live. If you ever watch their live show, as you go on YouTube, this is their closing number, and they bring people on stage, and it's really cool. It's got this really awesome dark vibe to it. It's great. But I was at a bachelor party, and a buddy of mine, Luke, shout out to Luke, he was doing karaoke of this song. I didn't tell him to do it. He's a Nick Cave fan himself, but he replaced Stagger Lee with somebody's name that was in the crowd there, and it was a big hit, which I loved, because I don't know that any of those guys had ever heard this song before. But
so wow, that's a bold karaoke choice.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
I'm surprised that there's a karaoke machine that has it in it, to be
honest. Oh no, I mean you just go on YouTube and you can
I see.
Any song, pretty much any song, and you'll be able to find it. But yes, I think the fun of karaoke is trying to find a song that nobody's really heard before. And in this case, I mean, not a whole lot of people have heard of it before. And then it's so twisted and strange. I mean, I could go over some of the lyrics, but this might get taken off of YouTube. Sorry, Vince.
John, have you said anything about the album? You said something about the band.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of the album. I've tried listening to other albums, and just none of them have pulled me in as much as this one did. But I haven't found like the album that I feel like, okay, this is the next one I should try and get into. But with this album, yeah, I mean, the Curse of Millhaven is definitely a standout as far as just, I'd say as far as the humor and also just, you know, a fun listen. Love the PJ Harvey on there. On the
Henry Lee. The,
yeah. I don't know, just overall solid.
The one with the girl singing was The Kindness of Strangers, which is sort of a strange song with a strange message. Like, you really shouldn't let your kids go off on their own. You should shelter them forever, I think is the final message of that song. Otherwise they're going to fucking die. Don't let your kids die or talk to strangers.
I don't know what's so messed up about that message. Well, okay, so I think that if I were to explore their other albums, I might like them a little bit better. Like I said, the subject matter is just like, it's about murder. So I'm like, I don't know what I was expecting, but you know, they did what the album suggests. So I think I would try and explore an album where they maybe talk about a little something else. I'm sure they could do it. Like I said, what was it? The Curse of Mill Haven. I like that. It was a speediness that I really appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, the opening track, Song of Joy, just does a great job of like opening it up and getting you in the mood for the album, I'd say too.
Yeah, it's a great sort of curtains up moment. It's very atmospheric and very dark and very slow and very dreary, which I think is a great opening track too. If you want the next recommendation, like, he's got Nick Cave, they have sort of piano driven albums, which I love. There was two of them in the 90s, actually one was like 2000 or so, but I love their piano driven albums, and their most recent albums are very, very different. They're more kind of synth driven. There's not a lot of percussion. There's a lot of haunting stuff on there. It's very strange. I don't know how much I really like their last three albums, especially their latest album. So I'm going to say that. But I would say Abattoir Blues and The Lyre of Orpheus. That's a double album from 2004. I would say that would be the next place to go. It's very rock, and it does go to strange places, and it's pretty accessible. So if you're curious, there you go.
Like a cat. well, should we mosey on to someone else?
Sure. I could talk about my hate for prescription drug commercials.
Whoa, man.
Yeah, my biggest thing is, like, there's no point to them because, like, most people seeing them don't have the things that they're talking about, like the conditions or whatever. And like that, then just like the companies paying to have them aired are just like wasting all this money that's like driving up the cost of the actual drugs that they're selling, essentially.
Breach.
Like, go ahead. Yeah. And like for that. For that reason, I think I read that New Zealand and the United States are the only two countries that even have commercials for prescription drugs. They're not allowed anywhere else. And then just like, you know, thinking about like, if I went to my doctor and was like, oh yeah, you should give me what the hex strain or whatever, like, they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, drugs are complicated. And, you know, like you have this other prescription that it would kill you if you took both of them.
You're not going to the right doctors, John. That's the problem.
Or, you know, like.
Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Kevorkian.
Yes. And, well, who the fuck is Zhivago? I was thinking Kevorkian.
That's Planet of the Apes, right? No, wait, what is that? No.
It's like a musical.
Dr. Zhivago is an actual movie musical, I think.
Yeah. Okay. But who's the doctor in Planet of the Apes?
That's Yeah, I think it's something like that. It's close.
Yeah.
Zaius,
yeah, that's Zaius. Right. You know, ape shall never kill ape. And yeah, basically, it's just wasting money for everyone. I guess, like, if I ever, like, okay, so here's ones where I could see that, okay, go ahead. Like, let's say cosmetic things, like, let's say there's like a product for, you know, hair loss or something, but it's like prescription strength. Like, okay, yeah, I could see having a commercial for that. Your doctor's not going to say like, oh, you have hair loss. Like, we should really get you on a prescription for that. So like for fully like elective cosmetic things, I'd say like, oh yeah, go ahead, have commercials for that. But like, I don't want to tell like my doctor what to give me if I have like cancer or something. On a side, like tangent, it is kind of sad that the best representation of male same-sex relationships in commercials are for HIV ads.
Yeah. For sure. Like, oh my gosh.
Like, oh, that looks like a really loving couple there. And then it's like a HIV commercial, which is sad.
Oh man. Well, okay. So the, I don't know. There was a commercial for, I don't know what that is, where like say like if I was like just had white spots, like white skin.
Oh yeah,
what is that called?
I forget. I know what you're talking about.
Alopecia?
No, that's
hair. I think
hair loss.
Oh, dang it!
I know it.
But
eczema? No. vitiligo.
Ooh, that might be it. I don't know, but either way, there's a commercial.
Sure,
there's a commercial for it, and it shows, you know, and I'm like, oh, I think that's awesome. I don't know how that community feels about it. Maybe they're like, no, we embrace it and shit like that. But I mean, I don't know. So that's available, but I'm like, well, what if I mean, how else are you supposed to know about this? I mean, are you going to just go to your doctor like, anything yet? Like, nope. You know, I don't know. I don't know how else to get the word out there. You know, like, I'm sure there's like if there was a cure for some ailment of mine that I'm not going to talk about right now, that'd be great, you know, because I don't go to the doctors. I don't, you know, maybe that's why I have these ailments.
Erectile dysfunction. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I thought this computer was higher. All right. Well. But like, I don't know. When you said it's a waste of time and money, but I'm like, how else are they going to get the word out there?
Well, you know? It's backwards, isn't it? It's just backwards. Like, the doctors should diagnose whatever's going on with us and then point us towards the right prescription drug, right? So why,
right?
And is there any benefit to us telling our doctors that this is what I want to be on, or I'm self-diagnosing myself, this is what I want to be on? Maybe I'm being naive. Maybe there's a whole plethora of people out there that are doing this shit and they put their foot down, or they go into different doctors till they get the answer that they want. I have no idea. But there's prescription drugs. I mean, there's a gigantic market for this stuff. I mean,
listen up, Doc. I watched a 30-second ad that told me I should be taking this thing. So,
but yeah, what is the point, though? What is the point? There has to be some proven numbers that say we should be running ads for certain types of drugs. And I'm sure there's ridiculously obscure drugs. I can't think of the most obscure one off the top of my head, but there's got to be some obscure crap out there that just...
Like the ones for restless leg syndrome from years back.
I don't even think I know that one, but interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. That's my only thing where...
Because like doctors like get directly marketed to by all these drug companies.
Absolutely. I've heard stuff. Well, I think let's see. Isn't that the point of that Matthew McConaughey movie where he's dying from HIV? Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, I saw that.
Isn't there like a whole point? Isn't there a whole thing in there where the hospital has some sort of contract with this drug company, so they have to only do these certain drugs? Or there's all this politics going on within the hospital system as far as which drugs they push you towards, even though there's potentially better alternatives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this whole thing is a big indictment on the whole healthcare system in general. So
if we want to go that route. I guess I agree that there's probably, there's definitely like probably better drugs for a condition that exists that your doctor might not be pushing you to for whatever reason. But I don't think a TV commercial is the best way to learn about it. Like, if you have a condition, like, I'm sure like there's a subreddit for that condition, you know, different like online communities, you could, you know, chat with people like, hey, what worked for you? That kind of thing would be way better than a TV commercial.
But again, there has to be numbers behind that. There's a reason why they have these commercials. It's got to be propping up sales. It has to in some way.
They should make commercials about like, go to the library and look up some information, read some books, you know? Yeah, when was the last time?
Go see your damn doctor. Let your doctor decide what's best for you.
That's true.
But we're kind of living in a world where people question doctors. So I'm kind of the idea that if smart man tells me something, I should probably listen to it. Like, this guy knows better than me, so I'm going to follow his advice.
I thought you were going to mention like the music that's put in those commercials that are like cheery or like well done, emotional music while they're saying like, if you take this pill, this will happen.
And
you know what I mean?
Side effect. I mean, I'm glad they have to say all the side effects in it.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that is kind of humorous to see, like people smiling where they're talking about, like, well, there was that what was the SNL skit, Happy Fun Ball or something, where they just familiar. Talk about all the side effects that this toy could have.
Yes, that sounds right.
Actually, on a tangent, have you ever heard on a podcast where they're advertising like DraftKings or one of these online betting?
Yes, games? I like that's on Conan's podcast. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then like, so it's like a 20-second commercial, and then all the like disclaimers about numbers to get help for your gambling addiction take like a minute and a half.
Because each state has their own rules, laws, and their own helpline and and whatever else. And I like at the end of every time Conan reads it, it's like, I had to read all of that. Seems insane.
Wow. I mean, could you imagine if they did that with like beer commercials? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where they're like, drink this and get laid. But at the same time, if you have a big problem, call these people, you know what I mean? Ah, man.
Actually, yeah, now that you mentioned it, it's funny how just alcohol is such a part of our culture that they're just exempt from that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, on the cans, it talks about pregnant. Well, I got one right here. I'm sure it talks about pregnancy, something or another still, but government warning, according to the, it talks about pregnancy. But yeah, I mean, going as far as the whole gambling thing would be pretty funny. What alcohol can lead to.
Oh man. Should we go to the next topic? Has anyone come up with a mystery before I go? Anyone find anything? No, not yet.
No.
I might still have one in that case. But I'll go into my indifference. I'm indifferent to the seven wonders of the world. This started off before I even did the research. I was just like, I always wanted to talk about this because I am indifferent. I know that just going into it. But it would start off as travel. I'm not against traveling. When I've gone to some place, I'm like, yeah, this is certainly different. You know, but like, I don't have that drive to travel, you know? That's kind of lost on me. And then I heard like, oh, there's only like so many of the seven wonders of the world left. So I was like, oh, well, that sucks. And then I heard later on like, oh, well, now there's like other places that are part of the wonders, but it's not even seven. Like, so there's so many things here. There's I guess only the pyramids exist from the original seven wonders of the world. But then after that, it's like modern architecture, and then natural phenomenon. I can't think of anything, but like, you know, above water. And then you go into the
there's
ocean.
There's like different lists.
Yeah.
There's like the seven wonders of the ancient world and the seven wonders of the modern world and the seven wonders of the natural world. And yeah, all this stuff.
And apparently anybody can come up with these lists, which that's what threw me off. I think I realized there was like more than one Seven Wonders of the World list, but then when I started researching this, I didn't realize how many lists there actually were.
Right. Like to the point, like I was kind of aware of that, where I was like, I don't even know what list to research for this. So yeah. I'll just let Vince tell me which ones he's indifferent to.
It's just that it started off as like seven. That's a nice, I was going to say a round number, but like, it's a nice number. And then there's only one left, but then all this other stuff. But I don't mind that. I think Stonehenge.
Henge with an N.
You were there, weren't you, John? Didn't you go?
Yeah, I've been there and I've been to Machu Picchu and the Colosseum. Ooh. From your background there.
Whoa,
three. I love this shit. Yeah.
Wait, do you really like, I could have swore that when you went to Stonehenge, you were like, there was a bunch of people there. It's not as mystical.
It definitely, like I thought I'd get there and it'd feel like, yeah, like a spiritual, mystical place, and it did not. But I'm still glad I went. Like, I don't know. I'm just a fan of like going to like the monuments where that are just such a huge attraction. And then just thinking of like all the people who have been there and like who stood here and, you know, like over the centuries or millennia in some of these cases, like that's really interesting to me.
Just think of the years upon years of people feeling nothing like you. You know what I mean?
Well, I will say like Machu Picchu, I thought was amazing. It's like maybe one of my favorite places I've ever been to. And in fact, is related to the reason of calling for a different podcast, aka the book 1491 made me really want to visit there. But yeah, I will say, just out of respect for my wife, I have to say when we went to Machu Picchu, we did a lot of superfluous hiking that she may not have felt was necessary. And I really appreciate that she did it.
Well, don't you have to do a bunch of hiking just to get to Machu Picchu?
Or no,
is it like paved
don't.
Roads and stuff? In this
it's
one?
Not paved roads, but there's like different ways to get there. So you can be like a badass and, you know, hike miles and miles and miles to get there. Or you can do what we did and just take a bus that goes up like the thing. But then once you get there, there's like two different mountains you can hike up. And we did one of those.
But you don't have to.
No, like one might argue that you could get a better view by not doing the hike and just like, you know, checking it out from where they drop you off, basically.
So John, when you think of Machu Picchu, can you picture it in your brain? No, you cannot, can you?
Wait, let me cover it.
I think there's grass. I can for like moments. I can't hold the image of it in my brain, but you know, I could kind of think of what it looks like. And
I'm just trying to figure out how your whole brain works when it comes to pulling up memories visually. You know, there might be something wrong. I think we're going to 83 and a half. Go ahead. Somebody else can go.
Well, I was just going to throw this in. John, consider this. A commercial pops up. They're like, hey, do you have problem holding an image in your mind? you can take this pill now. Yeah. I'm worried about that.
I don't know if it's a problem.
Wouldn't your life be better, though?
I don't know.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. You're used to doing things a certain way.
Although, Matt, you and I think we have to deal with a lot of shit in our minds. You know what I mean? And which John really doesn't have to as much. Like, he doesn't have to deal with that visual cue popping up at all times or whatever, you know?
Well, maybe it's like a ADD drug or something where it takes effect for 12 hours or 8 hours.
It's optional,
hours
Yeah. I read like 50 books in 2022. I feel like imagining what everything looks like would really put a damper on that.
You're totally right about that. Yes.
All right, man.
Books? Are you kidding me? We're talking like Curious George here or what?
No, let's become Goodreads friends. I'll show you.
Okay.
Matt, have you been to any of these? I don't think I have to any of them.
I don't believe I have, no.
So, Vince, what's on the list that you consider to be most official of wonders that exist today?
Ooh, I didn't really make a list. It was just like everything made the list online, okay. You know?
So like what's below the Taj Mahal? Is that like Chichen Itza or something? Is that one of the Mexican pyramids, maybe? I'm not sure either. I would like to visit the real pyramid, or I shouldn't say the real pyramids. I would love to visit the Egyptian pyramids and the Mexican pyramids as well.
Is that Aztec or Mayan or both? Probably both, I think, right?
Good question.
We're going to get into that in that book you
Yeah, exactly. Reading, so. I can't remember. I know Machu Picchu was Incan.
Okay.
My my thing, this is, and this is my only joke, I guess, or whatever, but the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Mm-hmm. Been there, loved it.
Okay. Did this happen, John?
Been there, loved it. Just say that to everything he says.
John, did you see this? This is what I envision. You get there and you look, and there's nothing but a bunch of people in a, you know, doing in a field going like this.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. That's why I loved it.
That's like the greatest spot to people watch right there, right? In the entire world.
Have you ever seen the videos where like they're doing that and then someone will run around and give them like high 10?
That's awesome.
Wait, Matt, though, do you have a desire to see any of these things? Like, are you not a travel guy like me or what?
Well, I travel. I have never really been out of the country. I was in Canada a little bit, but no, I've never even really been out of the country. So I've never seen Grand Canyon or anything like that.
Been there, loved it.
I have like a passive desire, like I'm not going to plan the trip kind of thing, you know, like, yes, I will go along on the trip. I don't want to plan the trip. You know, it's that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I do. I would like to see these things, but it's not something burning. But yeah, I mean, time's ticking. I'm going to have to get to it eventually.
Ooh, okay. Time's ticking. I'm thinking, I was just going to ask, what if all of a sudden they're like, hey, guess what? Not ISIS, but some group forms and they're like, we're going to get rid of the Taj Mahal. We're getting rid of all this shit. Like they blow up the real pyramids.
And I didn't mean that.
and so they're like, holy shit, all these places, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa is now straight. Oh my.
Everybody's like, pushing on it, paying off.
Yeah. But like, so that starts to happen. What's the one thing where you're like, I got to see this in my lifetime before it's gone?
I would probably Egyptian pyramids, as far as what I haven't gone to yet.
So what just do you think? So
I could take a picture of it through that Pizza Hut that's right next to it.
Well, yeah, I think I've seen a picture. Like, there's it's a freaking desert, and there's like a golf course, maybe like 10 miles away or something like that. So I've seen an aerial picture of this, which is kind of makes me chuckle to myself a little bit. But I would have to put some thought into that. I'm not sure what the answer to that would be.
Yeah, I mean, they could fill up the Grand Canyon.
Did you have an answer, Vince?
So what?
Do you have an answer to that?
Oh, I do. I think it's Stonehenge, even though I can't pronounce it. I don't know. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then the, what is it? The Easter Island heads.
Oh, yeah. That'd be really cool.
That looks kind of cool. That's about it that I can think of. Yeah.
Do you guys ever see the show An Idiot Abroad with it's a Ricky Gervais show.
Stephen Merchant,
Carl Pilkington is the main character. He's this just kind of aloof guy, and they send him off on all these travel, all these destinations. Like, he's been to the Taj Mahal and stuff like that. But it's kind of an interesting way to experience all these destinations, because it's just this aloof guy, and you kind of get this idea of just how crowded some of these places are, and just kind of how it's just maybe not as fun as you might think it would be. I thought that was kind of an eye-opening show. I really enjoyed that. It's been probably a decade since I've seen that. I kind of forget how old that show is, but it's a good one if you haven't seen it.
I just realized that, Matt, if you go to Vegas, finally, you can get somewhat of an experience.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing all that shit.
Yeah. It's a thought. Yeah, maybe I'll go to Vegas first, and then I'll decide if I want to expand my horizons from there.
Actually, Vince, your hypothetical did happen in a small degree, and not like an ancient wonder, but have you heard of the Georgia Guidestones?
No.
It's this weird, like, mysterious... Like, I think it's like a henge kind of thing, where they put up these stones in like a I don't know, something mapping to like the celestial bodies in the sky and all that stuff down in Georgia somewhere. And they put all these like new world ordery kind of statements on it. Like keep the world population between this level or below this level, like all kinds of stuff that like are kind of problematic guiding lights for how humanity should run, basically. So I was always kind of curious about it. I'm like, oh, if I'm ever in the area, maybe I'll go check it out. And then like basically it was destroyed by terrorists because they thought it was like satanic or whatever.
Wow.
Bizarre. I've never heard of that. So that's a mystery as to who created that?
Yeah, I think there is mystery around who created it. I think they have some ideas. But yeah. Yeah, look it up. It's called the Georgia Guide Stones.
And we're talking Georgia.
The Georgia, state.
Yeah, the like state, the not United the, States. Yeah, not...
Not the Soviet Union.
Is that what it is? Okay. I don't know. I just thought of that community joke where Troy is supposed to be playing Georgia, the Soviet Union, but he's like out here in Georgia.
We haven't talked about community yet on this show. That's coming someday.
I think we dipped into Dan Harmon a little bit, but
We did. We did. Yeah. We certainly did.
Oh man.
Seven Wonders. Yeah. I like the natural wonders list, like Mount Everest and the Great Barrier Reef and stuff like that. Like that would, like, it is ISIS going to take that stuff away from us too? Because hopefully that one. Well, the Great Barrier Reef is going to be taken from us whether we like it or not. It seems like, but
damn it!
Oh, yeah. I had to do it.
That is depressing.
Bring us down.
ISIS. I didn't say it was them, an ISIS-like group.
Just the different lists is still just shocking to me. Like, I mean, just get a big conglomeration of all the different lists and then...
Yeah, like does National Geographic have one? Like, I'd consider them an authority, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or the Guinness Book of World Records, I'd take their list.
The seven great hedges of the world for Vince.
The hedges.
I mean, out of all the henches I've been to, Stone was like top three.
And all the great hedges I've been to, the one in my front yard is maybe top 10.
I like to hedge my bets.
Oh.
All right. Well, you know what? I feel safe going into a mystery topic.
Yes.
All right, this almost is like a deja vu, but not really. And I really wish I read more of this topic. But plants make noise, like tiny little clicks if there's like danger near. I don't remember. I barely remember anything about this, but this popped in my head. So with that being said, though, John, you, an herbivore, me and Matt were a couple of carnivore buddies, man. But like, okay, so if plants do make noise and say they communicate with each other, and they do, though, don't they? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, like, they definitely communicate with each other.
Yeah. I just wanted to, like, how do you feel about that? Does that, because I never asked you why you chose to eat the way you do. I'm just kind of curious if that affected anything or whatever.
Sure. So let's say you're a utilitarian trying to minimize suffering. And then all of a sudden you learn, oh shit, plants can suffer too. Like that's big news. I guess my thought to that would be you're not having less plants suffer if you're eating meat because all the animals you're eating down the food chain are eating plants. And that's going to add up to way more and a higher number of plants being eaten than would have been if you just ate the plants directly.
Not the cows that I'm eating. They are not eating grass. I can tell. antibiotics and shit.
Oh yeah. But yeah, I guess that's my thought to that stuff. Like we have reason to believe that even if plants do suffer, that it's not the same as for animals. And if you're just trying to like limit the total numbers, then eating plants directly is still going to be a better option. That being said, there are people who take that very seriously and they only eat like the fruit that, you know, has fallen off of trees, or, you know, like nuts and stuff like that, where, you know, you're literally not eating, you're not killing any plants to eat them. You're just basically taking advantage of the plant's own systems to, you know, propagate or whatever.
So aren't the berries basically their seeds in a way, right? Like that. Mm-hmm. So are you killing the plant before they are born, so to speak?
You want to take things really far, just starve and die.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I just find this all interesting. I mean, growing up Native American, fucking everything has a soul and shit, you know? So
do plants have souls, though?
I believe, yeah. I mean, you ever watch Pocahontas? Remember Grandmother Willow? She was full of wisdom. I do remember that. You know, the same thing applies, you know. So I don't know. I was just curious, John, if you were just like, no, I just think that it's better for my body. It's not necessarily a thing of like, oh, I don't want to harm animals. It's just like, I prefer myself on plants. For me, you know what I mean?
It's definitely like an environmental and like welfare of animals thing is my reasoning. Like I eat very unhealthy, even though I'm eating only plants, basically.
Matt, what do you got to say about this?
Now the whole world's suffering, man. What are you going to do?
It is what it is.
It is what it is, man. To quote Tom Waits, misery is the river of the world. Misery is the river of the world.
That was Ron Perlman.
This is kind of like the most metal topic ever. Plants are dying, man. Plants are suffering this whole time. We didn't even know. I guess I really didn't know that plants made a sound. So I think maybe that was totally off my radar.
# not all plants.
Not all plants.
Yeah, I don't. I don't remember what plants they actually hooked up and whatever. But I don't know. I just remember, again, growing up Native American, it's like, you know, you fucking hunt the deer down, you lay some Donny down, some tobacco, and that's even plant, you know. But that was like an offering to kind of say like, oh, thank you for, you know, letting us take your life so we could feed our own family and shit like that. So, it, you know, it all kind of came from a very respectful place. So you could say the same thing about plants, you know, when you're whacking them away on your, with your lawnmower or your scythe, you could be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Scythe. Oh, this is Lion King, the circle of life.
Oh my gosh, circle of life.
Come on, jump in, guys.
No. We got a like, subscribe, comment. This was a few Goldilocks Bears with Bits of Cloud.
John Nemeth.
Matt Hagen.
Woo! Yourself.